From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in San Rafael, California.
I'm from San Jose,
Hayward, California.
NOPA.
Kind of lower Russian Hill.
I live across from El Metate in San Francisco.
Coming up, San Francisco gears for a showdown over the tourist rental industry.
It was probably would be advisable for me to, you know, find out exactly the illegality that's involved.
Are you going to do that?
I may do.
Then we'll hear about some potential solutions to San Francisco's housing crisis.
Pack as many people into a small space as possible. That is, at least in theory, a response to our current housing crisis.
And we find out the answer to this week's Audiograph Mystery Sound.
It's the first Friday of the month, so check your books at the door.
It's a knockout show today on Cross Currents. Stay with us. Controversies heating up over online rental brokers like Airbnb and VRBO. In San Francisco, some landlords have found that renting apartments on a nightly basis to visitors can bring in a lot more money than renting to long-term residents. KALW's Ben Trefney reports that people concerned about a shrinking rental market have turned to legal action, demonstrating, and placing protest stickers on rental properties.
Activists gathered here in San Francisco's North Beach neighborhood last month to call attention to part of the city's housing crisis.
Airbnb, you can't evict me! Airbnb.
They got together around this three-unit apartment building along a cable car line. Its flats are being rented out to vacationers through an online broker. The protesters plastered the building with green stickers to say tourist rentals here are illegal. This used to be the rent-controlled home of elderly tenants until out-of-town investors bought the building and ousted the residents. And that makes Ted Gellickson furious.
They're making a lot of money doing this, and it's purely illegal business model, and they're taking away our rent-controlled housing stock, and they're causing evictions.
Gellickson heads the San Francisco Tenants Union. The city already has one of the lowest vacancy rates in the nation, about 3%. It's also got some of the most expensive median rents. A one-bedroom goes for around $3,100 a month now. Local law limits rent increases for long-term residents, but if tenants are evicted, like they were right here, they'll probably have to pay market rate to stay in the city.
You know, I applaud the tenants' union for bringing attention to the bad actors.
Peter Kwan is head of a group called Home Sharers of San Francisco.
But they may be giving the impression that everybody who hosts equally bad actors, which is simply not the case.
Kwan founded the Home Sharers 2 years ago in his living room. Now, it's got over 1,000 members, and a lot are like him. They don't evict tenants. They live in the property they rent to tourists. Kwan gets about $130 a night for a room in his house, and it's booked pretty solid in the summer.
And when I started, I had a lot of questions about, you know, legality and the hotel tax and insurance.
So the room in your house that you rent out, is that legal in San Francisco?
It could be a violation of the zoning code. I haven't looked into it.
Oh, but you're the head of the Home Sharers Association.
Right. I haven't gotten legal advice about it.
Are you curious?
Yes. Well, you know, it would be advisable for me to, you know, find out exactly the illegality that's involved. And then I guess, you know, one would have to make a decision about whether or not what the implications are.
Are you going to do that?
I may do.
There are at least two codes and ordinances that make private rentals of less than 30 days illegal in San Francisco. They're not allowed for rented rooms, flats, or houses. Not allowed for owned properties or for sublets. Two lawsuits have been filed so far, and the city attorney is considering more. The 30-day law is the same in New York City, and officials there have been cracking down on rental scofflaws. But San Francisco Planning Director John Ram says his city is trying to walk a fine line. It wants to protect vulnerable tenants.
And in a way that isn't, you know, causing heartache to people who are just trying to make a little bit of money for out of their apartment.
Ram has as many as 5 people working on this issue. But he says it's very difficult to make sure people follow zoning laws.
most of these units aren't being changed physically. So you can't walk into a unit and look at it to say, oh, you're in violation. It's about how it's used. And that's where the enforcement becomes a bit of a challenge.
But according to the letter of the planning code, all of them were operating illegally, right?
Technically correct. That's right.
The planning department was notified about this three-unit apartment here in North Beach, and they submitted a complaint to the owners. They're absentee owners. They live on Coronado Island near San Diego, and they claim not to have known about the city's requirements. Now they say they're committed to complying, but their attorney, Ryan Patterson, says he thinks that might not be necessary.
Property owners have a right to privacy in their homes.
And think about some of the reasons. Maybe a friend needs a place to stay and is paying a little to sleep on the couch. Or maybe your kid moved back home after college and you're charging them a little for rent.
And in a lot of cases, it seems problematic for the city to be asking those questions to begin with. Who's sleeping in this bed? It may not be the city's business.
We know that the current reality is that these laws are broken every day.
That's San Francisco Board of Supervisors President David Chu.
The estimates are, in San Francisco, over the past year, we've seen over 100,000 incidents of this.
Chu has proposed compromise legislation. It would legalize rentals of less than 30 days, so long as the owner occupies the residence, registers with the city, carries insurance, pays hotel taxes, and only rents space out for about a quarter of the year.
And let me be clear, under our legislation, we are not going to allow second homes or vacation homes to be rented short-term by owners.
So investors would be forced out of the market, while residents would be welcomed.
During our affordability crisis, this has been a way for many San Franciscans to pay the rent and put food on the table.
Critics don't think that's actually who would benefit from Chu's rules.
So the notion that Airbnb is helping struggling working class single heads of household stay in this town is absolutely laughable.
Calvin Welch is a longtime housing activist in San Francisco. He thinks the booming short-term rental market is an example of exploiting the city's resources to reward the wealthy.
If you map them, which we have done, they are overwhelmingly in upper middle class income neighborhoods. And if you listen to the testimony and go and talk to neighborhood organizations in Pacific Heights, in the Marina, in west of Twin Peaks, that's where it's happening.
It's happening in at least 7,500 units in San Francisco alone. Carl Shepard is co-founder of Austin-based HomeAway, which runs many vacation rental websites, including VRBO. He's pro-regulation, but he says too much could just send the hot market underground.
So it's a little bit like prohibition in the 30s. And what you don't want to do is create a law that can't be enforced because that does no one any good.
To some extent, that's what happened here in North Beach. Now, other cities around the world have made their decisions. Laws were recently passed to allow short-term residential rentals in Amsterdam and Paris, but they were banned in Berlin and Barcelona. The San Francisco Board of Supervisors has been taking public comment and is expected to discuss the issue next month. Whatever's decided, it's going to have a big impact on places like this three-unit apartment building. The short-term rental industry will have to adjust as regulations slowly catch up to technology. In San Francisco, I'm Ben Trefney for Cross Currents.
Thanks to Charlotte Silver and David Zlutnick for their help with that story. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. Part of why the Airbnb controversy is so heated may be the infamous housing crisis that San Francisco is going through. It's hard to avoid reports on skyrocketing rent prices, controversial evictions, or horror stories of terrible housing situations. But there's been far less coverage of what actual solutions there might be for these issues. And one outlet that's doing that is the San Francisco Public Press. In its latest edition, Creative Solutions to the Housing Crisis, the paper lists 9 innovative approaches San Francisco can take to resolve the crisis. Noah Arroyo served as this edition's editor. I sat down with him to discuss a few of these ideas.
If you check out the news, right, in San Francisco, you hear a lot of the same conversations happening over and over again about the same issues, and politicians roll out the same potential solutions, and they all tend to be policy-based, really complicated, and it's hard to visualize them. We wanted to look at stuff that might have an application here, but that we aren't even talking about here. It's not part of the policy discussion. So we looked elsewhere for this. We looked to other states, other cities. We looked to New York for a lot of examples. We also looked to San Francisco's own history, say for a story about rent control. That in itself is kind of emblematic of what we found to be the problem with our current discussion about housing issues in San Francisco. Rent control is a major potential housing solution, depending on how you were to tweak it. We're not even talking about tweaking it. Other places like New York are talking about doing at least small things. At the very least, they're talking about it. But we wanted to change the discourse to things that haven't happened yet, things that people aren't talking about.
All right, so let's go through some of them. You have 9 here in this issue. So I want to start with number 2. Backyard cottages could add a third more homes to the city.
Yeah.
Can you flesh out that idea?
Well, first of all, I got to plug our reporters because I didn't write any of these myself. I directed a lot of the reporting, but this one came from our own Corianne Brosnahan. She discovered that there's this thing called a backyard cottage. It goes by a number of different names depending on what city you're looking at. But basically, it's a type of housing that a homeowner, say somebody who has a backyard, can build, right? They can just do it. Depending on where you're looking at, this is easy or hard to do. But there are a lot of cities, such as Seattle, such as Portland, Oregon, that are really, really running with this idea. In fact, there are cities that have, I think it's Portland, that have given homeowners how-to guides on how to do this type of housing. In San Francisco, you don't see that. In fact, it's basically illegal to do. And if it's not explicitly illegal, then it's functionally illegal. Things like open space requirements, people's backyards, other requirements say we have zoning laws that say you can only build on this parcel of land, one residential dwelling unit, then that basically outlaws building a backyard cottage on that plot of land. A third or roughly so of the homes in San Francisco are single family homes. Those are houses with backyards. That's a lot of potential backyard cottages that we could be building. The other aspect of this, if you take a bird's eye view of the city, these single-family home parcels account for about half of the city. Hmm. So we could be doing a lot here. We're not doing it. And it really all just comes down to laws and regulations that stymie construction.
All right, let's go to another one, one of your 9 solutions for solving the housing crisis. And that is number 4, which I liked a lot. Build dorm-style nano-apartments for newly arriving tech workers.
Seattle has a ton of these, and they're being built. We looked at the differences between San Francisco and Seattle. Why is it that they are building, or at least permitting, thousands of these types of super tiny homes, and we're not? The two geographies face much the same situation. They both have an influx of tech workers, or you could just say young professionals, who tend to live alone, tend to spend all day at work or out doing stuff. They have some disposable income, more than the average. These can be built along major transit corridors. Hmm. They're facing a similar housing crisis in Seattle as we are here. Average incomes are dropping. Average rental prices are going up. So begs the question, why aren't we doing this here? They're building a ton of these small apartments there. Seems to be a limited solution, right? And once again, the
policy.
We have a citywide 375 cap on how many of these super tiny apartments can be built. Seattle doesn't have that cap.
You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Hanat Baba. I'm speaking with Noah Arroyo of the San Francisco Public Press about their latest edition, 9 Creative Solutions to San Francisco's Housing Crisis. Housing solution number 5, allow off-the-shelf homes in San Francisco's underused spaces. And there's a picture of a woman, Heather Stewart, who co-founded Box House with designer Luke Eisman, and she lives in a converted shipping container that is 160 square feet. So is that what we're talking about here? Shipping containers, turning them into homes?
Well, we're talking about a lot of stuff and they're all concepts, so I gotta throw those out there. Some of our ideas are a little zany, and that was kind of the goal. So this was one of those. This is completely theoretical. But let's talk theory for a second. This specific story looked at two different ways to, I don't want to throw too much jargon our way, but productize homes. Right. So instead of going through the normal development process and, you know, you want to build a home, so you find, a contractor, an architect, whatever, the crew, you file the permits and all that stuff. What would happen if we just didn't do that? Like, what are ways to avoid that and still build something that you can live in? And where would you put that? We found two different ways of doing that. One was this thing that you just mentioned, shipping containers, living in them. And this is something that a guy, Luke Eisman, has already designed, is building. He lives in them. So does Heather Stewart. And he's working on, with a team of people, acquiring, I think it's a warehouse where he's going to basically set up a shipping container colony. That's the plan. That's over in Oakland. The other idea in the story.
A shipping container colony.
A shipping container. You can stack them, I think, 7 high, if I'm not mistaken. And at least from his account, you can do it in pretty rough weather, too.
Huh.
As long as you're in a warehouse in Oakland, I'm guessing the weather doesn't get too rough. And you got ladders and stuff. But yeah, that's the idea, right? Pack as many people into a small space as possible. That is, at least in theory, a response to our current housing crisis.
All right. So we went through a number of your 9 solutions to the housing crisis, and there are more. And our listeners can pick up the latest edition of the Public Press to find out the rest of them. But I'm wondering what you think is most likely to actually happen anytime soon.
Oh, you mean like
which
in
one
reality?
Of these solutions, like in reality?
Oh, out of the solutions that are in our edition.
Right.
Oh, that's a tough one. The whole tiny apartments thing would be a realistic one. We've already passed legislation to allow super small apartments. These are pre 220 square feet apartments, right? Backyard cottages also make sense because other cities are doing this right now.
Is there optimism that this housing crisis can be solved or maybe just managed to an extent that people can stay in the city? That says a lot.
It's really tough. It's really tough. I mean, think of how Senator Mark Leno was trying to pass these changes to the Ellis Act, which is a state level law that has, as I'm sure all your listeners know, some real dire consequences locally for us here in San Francisco. And those changes didn't make it. I think that may have been a litmus test for what exactly is possible right now. It's kind of depressing when you really think about it. Our current methods for creating affordable housing aren't working. And unless we try something different, it's not going to happen.
That's Noah Arroyo, reporter and editor at the San Francisco Public Press. Its latest edition is called Creative Solutions to the Housing Crisis, and it's available now. We've got the link at klw.org. Click on Cross Currents. And you heard some solutions. Now we'd like to hear yours. Share them with us, no matter how zany, at 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. And now it's time for Audiograph. All week long on KALW, we've been playing you this sound.
It's the first Friday of the month, so check your books at the door!
I have broken my forearm, I've broken my rib, and I've gotten a concussion. And that's, you know, not too bad, considering a lot of other people are way worse off.
We asked you what it was and where we recorded it. To bring us the story behind the sound, we sent KLW's Zach Mack to a monthly gathering at the Oakland Metro Opera House.
You gotta be kidding me.
A grown man wearing a red beanie, bright blue face paint, and a dyed white beard struts into a wrestling ring.
Papa Smurf!
Papa Smurf. He's facing off against Fred Flintstoner.
You got Fred Flintstoner!
They throw each other to the ground, they climb the ropes, they fling themselves on top of each other, trying to pin the other to the ground. A couple hundred fans press right up against the edges of the ring. This is Hood Slam.
When people first started asking what Hood Slam was, I would actually mention wrestling last.
That's Hood Slam creator and pro wrestler Sam Khandagabadi, known in the ring as the Dark Sheik.
It's a variety show. It's live music. There's burlesque. There's comedy. There's drama. There's sometimes some, like, B-movie, 70s kung fu gore. There's all these elements of 90s nostalgia and video games. Also, it happens in a wrestling ring, and there's some combat.
Khandagabadi wrestled for a few years on the independent circuit, but he was disappointed by the product and the pay.
And I wanted to do something that was a little bit more edgy, a little bit more fun, just more of an entertainment environment, something that didn't insult the intelligence of the viewer.
So in 2010, he started Hood Slam. About 15 people came to the first event. Nowadays, as many as 1,000 crowd into the Oakland Metro Opera House. Sean Holmes has been coming here for 3 years.
I try and explain it to everyone that I know, but the only way that I can explain it is that you have to see it for yourself.
That's what just happened to Thomas Ukun. This is his first time.
I don't know, just screen masculinity and bulkiness.
It's cool, it's edgy, it's just dirty, it's gnarly, it's not for little kids, it's not sugar-coated.
That's Brittany Chenault. She's one of the few female wrestlers involved in the show.
I wrestle as Ultra Girl Brittany Wonder. People think I'm adorable, and then I get beat up, and then I kick people in the face.
Chenault grew up in a household where watching wrestling was a family activity. Now she's a star in the ring, leaping from the ropes to tackle unsuspecting competition and occasionally getting flung into the audience. But it's all part of the show, and it's scripted, loosely.
There's no match that goes 100% the way that you expected it to go.
Fundamentally, the matches are really sound.
Mike Johnson wrestles as Drugs Bunny, a coke-addicted rabbit from the 1920s.
The production and the promos and the outfits are a little crazy, but it works. Everyone's in on the joke. The characters are too outlandish. The maneuvers are, while acrobatic and athletic, are insane. And, you know, that's why we chant this is real, because it's real to us, it's real to them, and that's why they keep showing up every month.
What is real is the athleticism and technical precision that brings this raunchy fantasy world to life. And playing tour guide to that world is AJ Kirsch, better known as Broseph Joe Brody.
It's like an exercise in the id. Like, that's something I think everybody here really enjoys. Like, you get to be whatever you want the people to love or whatever you want the people to hate. You can put that in front of them, and that's part of the magic of being involved with pro wrestling.
It's the first Friday of the month. This is real. This is Stay With Me.
And despite the tongue-in-cheek motto of the fans, Hood Slam loves its fans, and they love Hood Slam. For Cross Currents, I'm Zach Mack.
Our winner this week is Gregory Chu. Congratulations, Gregory. We're sending you a KALW t-shirt. For the rest of you, you'll have another chance to win next week. Here's your sneak peek. Ready? Here we go.
I probably have a repertoire of around 40 tunes that I can pull out at any given time. That's kind of my ballpark repertoire right now.
Maybe my heart's on fire, on fire.
So, if you know what that is and where we recorded it, give us a call at 415-264-7106 and tell us. That's 415-264-7106. And if you're correct, you might just win a KALW t-shirt. We'll reveal the answer next week on Cross Currents. To find out more, head to our website, kalw.org. Click on Audiograph. And that does it for today's edition of Cross Currents from KALW News. Our team includes Louisa Beck, Lisa Carmack, Ronnie Cohen, Leela Day, Audrey Dilling, Sandhya Dirks, Angela Johnston, Ashley Ann Krigbaum, Holly J. McDee, Daniel Moore, Seth Samuel, Stephen Short, Judy Silber, and Rachel Vasquez. Today's show was engineered by Chris Hoff. Our line producer was Nina Gensler-Debs. Our senior producers are Julie Kane and Jen Chien. Ben Trefney is our executive editor. Holly Kernan is our news director. Our theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. And thank you. We are listener-supported public radio. This music is by Irene and the Rarities. They'll be performing in Berkeley on Sunday night at the Freight and Salvage Coffee House. Music begins at 8 o'clock. For Cross Currents, I'm Hanat Baba.